The craft beer news this week talks about outdated beers on shelves, ordering beers online, and the closure of McKellar, USA. All this and more during this week's catch up on the craft beer news.
Whether your beer is in a bottle, can, or glass, kick back and relax. It's Better on Draft.
Welcome, everybody, to the news segment. October 21st, 2022. My name is Ken. Thank you so much for joining us. I appreciate it. I am here with my co-host, starting with Dan. Dan, hey. What do you got to drink?
Still working on these Partake Reds.
Well, it is only 5 o'clock over there.
Yep.
Are you going somewhere after? Is that the reason for the slowness? All right.
Yeah, it's early. Yeah.
That makes sense. Rob, what do you got over there?
So during the last segment, the interview, I was finishing up a Untitled Art S'mores Dark Brew. The non-alcoholics that they make are absolutely ridiculously good. And right now finishing up an Athletic Brewing Oktoberfest before I go back to my Kentucky 74. So we'll get back to that in a moment.
That is one thing, speaking of NA beers, that I wish that the next session, because everyone's politicking right now here in Michigan, the next session of Michigan legislation, we can finally get rid of treating NA beer as beer and allowing for importing of NA beer everywhere. For those of you who don't know, however, Tavor is actually back in the state of Michigan, so you can go in and deliver a Tavor beer to yourself. We don't have a code or anything like that. They're not a sponsor. We're just promoting, being able to get craft beer from around the country here. Because I know as much as we are homers here, sometimes it's nice to have a specialty beer. Wendy, what are you drinking over there in your Better on Draft glass?
So I want to do a quick shout out to Megan from Mass Bay Brewing, because she was on the show and I told her that I liked Flannel Friday and she totally hooked me up and I'm super excited. So I am drinking Harpoon's Flannel Friday.
Now for me, and this is going to be my topic for the day, a little bit of a lesson, a little bit of a question and a little bit of a discussion. But for those of you who listened to our interview episode with Hanakoa Brewing, I actually had a 4 Elf that was dated at least 2018. I now am drinking a Lefindemann, which is one of my beers, which actually has a best buy date. Mind you, I bought this on the shelf yesterday, which was coated in dust, but it has a best buy date or a best before date of March 14th, 2016. On those same shelves, I actually purchased a Massacre from 2017 from Wolverine, and I bought those 3-4 packs. I bought them. I went to the guy, and this is the first thing that I'm going to tell a lot of people, is that when you see a beer that is that out of date, and I'll explain a little bit more about some of the out-of-date beers I also saw. When you see beers that out of date, obviously they should be recalled to their distro or to their brewery, because the brewery does not want you to be drinking beers that old. Unibrew does not want me drinking beer from 2015. Wolverine Massacre, this beer right here, which is a barrel-aged lager, this might hold up and people might be like, oh, that's a good find. And then the 4 Elf from Dark Horse, these are beers you should not be finding on shelves. So I went to the guy and I said, hey, they had beers from Arcadia Battle Creek, which went out of business in 2018. Goodness. They had Sanders Bumpy Chocolate Cake.
What?
From Detroit Beer Co. Not from Old Nation. From Detroit Beer Co. They had IPAs from Wolverine that were easily 2017. So when you run into this, one, don't bother buying beers that you know are not going to taste well, IPAs, that kind of stuff. The Lefendemann and the Wolverine and the Four Elf, I thought, you know, hey, these might be okay. And I haggled with the guy. I said, you know, hey, I will give you $5 for each of these four packs. $15, three, four packs. Simple, easy. It's on me. This is what I should have done when I found that Axel beer instead of paying full price. Of the tall boys of Axel, like right after they purchased Milking It for the limited time they did tall boys. So this is my lesson to you, everyone around, is when you go to these smaller liquor stores, and this store had brand new beers, brand new craft beers, a decent selection, to be honest. Nothing whale finding, but you're getting everything from local Arbor Founders, Bells to, you know, National, Sierra Nevada, New Belgium. Don't settle for it. One, it's not worth it. But two, if you want to try it, you might as well try to haggle with the guy. But always check the dates on these beers. Because again, if you see something that says Arcadia and you think, oh, that might be made by Superfluid, also known as Shorts, do not, you know, just be cautious. This is my cautionary tale to you. So the Four Elf, which I had on the interview show, I was telling people in the Discord, which if you go to our link tree, which is Better on Draft, or you go to our website or you go look in the show notes, you can join our Discord. This was very not spicy. Everything's mellowed out. Very, very simple. Easy to drink. The rest of these I haven't had yet, so I'll be drinking them throughout the news. But that's just my little cautionary tale, is it's important to check craft beer dates. Or beer dates, I should say, for that matter, not just craft beer. Has anybody, not just me, ran it? Wendy already with the hand up. Wendy, what is an old beer you accidentally or purposely bought?
So what's sad is that it shouldn't have been an old beer. I went to one of my local stores and picked up the Wheeze and the Juice. And it was definitely one that they had forgotten in the back and put to the front in the cooler, which I didn't realize it until I got home. It's a beer style that I love. It's a particular beer that I love, so I know what it tastes like. And it was definitely an old beer. So definitely check those dates.
It's from Grand Armory, right?
Yep.
Correct. Yes. We had Buck and another gentleman on the show almost 2 years ago, I think. Now that I think about it, it's been that long. That might have been a pre-MI series episode of Better on Draft. So it was just a regular Better on Draft episode. What about you, Dan? Dan, have you ran into... I mean, you get into some, like, dirty old-ass BCBS just sitting on the shelf over there.
Yeah, that happens. The big one I can think of that I've actually noticed, because I don't go around looking for old beer, is the... finding Brick Red, actually, from Milking It right after we started the show. There was that liquor store right by the original studio, and at this point it had been at least a year since they had produced anything, but here was Brick, and was it, what was the green one, the IPA or the pale that they made?
That was the Axel.
The Axel, that's right. And the other one, Snow, that Nick liked so much, that tasted like someone pissed in a can and handed it to you. They had several of these on the shelves, and they were the cans where, if you remember, they were having explosion issues where these cans were just exploding on
shelves. Yeah, they weren't shelf stable.
Yeah, these are the ones where the cans were kind of, you know, collapsed in, you know, and weird things were going on. So that's the last one I can think of. I haven't gone out of my way otherwise looking for any.
I remember you brought that in, I believe, the first time we had Dan Riley on the show.
Yeah, I had some of there and brought it in for him.
And that in a nice way, I'll call him a jerk, still has not given me the recipe that he promised for
to make Brick. The beer.
Yeah, I feel like it might be because he also currently isn't invested in a brewery. So that might be why. But, you know, he made some promises. Rob, I mean, what about you? Like, Dan made a comment, which I kind of took offense to, and you said you tried. I did not try. I walked in to get a bottle of R&R whiskey for a party tomorrow.
All right. I haven't noticed it. We'll put it that way.
But you saw on the screen during the between shows, like, I showed you how much dust was on that bottle.
Yeah.
I did not search for it. I found it because I started coughing up a storm. But Rob, what about you? Like,
man, like a Swiffer would not get all that dust off of there. That was just layers upon layers. But the last one that I remember I ran into was actually a bottle of Bell's. And I remember seeing a bottle of Bell's Oatmeal Stout. And it was... And this was probably it was a couple years ago that I saw this. I can't remember what store it was in, but I remember seeing the bottle, and it was the super old label. It was the only reason why I absolutely knew it was an old bottle was because it was the generic black and white label that just said Oatmeal Stout on it. It had no label design. It was like, you know, the absolute discount, like, instead of Cheerios, it's just Wheat-O's that sit at the bottom of the shelf, where it's just a black and white label that just said Oatmeal Stout. And I'm like, that has got to be the oldest bottle of Oatmeal Stout I've ever seen. Because I'm like, that's like the last time I even remember drinking Oatmeal Stout when it had that label was maybe like 2002. It's just like, it was ridiculously old. So I was just like, yeah, I'm not buying that.
All right. So that's my tale to everyone, to be cautious when they're buying beer. Make sure you check the labels. Make sure you check if it's got a best before or a born on date. Very, very important. Again, when you're dealing with like barrel aged beers, sometimes they can last, you know, on the shelf for a while. But when you're buying IPAs, let's not go back to the initial reason why this show started. For those of you who don't know why this specific Better on Draft show started, was because somebody was upset that a 4 week old Two Hearted, 4 week old Two Hearted was too old. So that was one of the initial episodes before. So again, 4 weeks is fine for an IPA. It's going to last. You should drink it sooner than later, but still, there were cans of M43 on there that I was afraid to look at, and I will definitely be back, however, to start gambling a little bit more with some of those beers. Not the IPAs, that's for sure. But the other beers, because I mean, I'm not going to like a regular IPA. Well, I'm going to like a age stale IPA. Going through the news, as always with the news episode of Better on Draft, let's roll into Rob, what do you have for us today?
You know, I was thinking about talking about the self-pouring taps, but you brought up Tavor, and that's really made me want to talk about Tavor right now. And you brought up the whole thing about not having a promo code. I feel like I could try to make that happen again. But thinking about Tavor and how their business model works, and basically for those who are not familiar with Tavor, essentially it is a mail service which goes through, they have an app, T-A-V-O-U-R, where there are a select set of beers that are available on the app where you can purchase. And at a certain time where you get all of the beers that you want, those beers can be shipped to you for a flat rate. I believe it's like $15. I'm not sure how the process works now, considering it was here. And what happened was there was a medical supply delivery company that was in the local area here, I believe in Royal Oak, that would get the shipment and then they would deliver it directly to your house. I don't know if that's still the way that they're going to do it. Personally, I didn't really like the way that they did it with that company. So I guess we'll see how this goes now. But there's these different beers that are throughout the country. Sometimes there's some whales. Sometimes you'll see Alaskan Brewings deal with the devil. There's Bottlelogic's peach barley wine that just won a GABF award called Flesh of Stone that sold out in probably minutes. That they have all these different beers up there that you can purchase. Unfortunately, for a lot of the breweries that are here in Michigan, this takes away from their business because they're trying to obviously sell their own beers. And there definitely are, you know, breweries that, I mean, obviously you're going to go for your choice, but obviously the breweries that are here want to stay in business and they want you to come in and buy their beer. I guess where I'm going with this is that it just in terms of Tavor, I know I have used the service. I was kind of big in using it when it was here the first time. And then I guess long story short, the distributors in Michigan basically said, get out. And Tavor said, okay, and they left. I mean, they didn't really, I think there was a law change that kind of forced them out, but they didn't necessarily have to leave. I can't remember the details of it, but essentially the distributors went to Tavor and said, you're taken away from our business. We would kind of like you to leave, and they left. But now here they are again. So I guess I'm curious, and we'll start with our Michigan co-host. I'm gonna start with Wendy on this one. In terms of Tavor, the fact that they are back, does it give you any incentive to want to peruse their beers and perhaps purchase any?
Yes, because it gives me the chance to try beers from outside of here that I wouldn't be able to get normally. And I, too, use Tavor. I will say it's a very slippery slope, though, because you have to stop your limit. Like, you have to figure out your limit first. Because there were times when I got that bill at the final and I was like, whoa, that's an expensive hobby.
And there are a few that, and yes, there is that draw to it, that there are beers that don't get distributed here. I know that every time anything from Drekker hit Tavor that I wanted to buy it. But now Drekker is distroed here in Michigan. So it's like, I don't need that anymore. But you know, when Bottlelogic Flesh of Stone shows up, well, Bottlelogic doesn't come here. It is a little bit more of a markup in that the bottles, I believe they generally sell for $25 at the brewery, but Tavor charges $27. You know, $2 to make some money on it, okay. But when I have a direct contact where I can get it at cost, I'm not going to go that route. But Ken, what are your thoughts about Tavor being back here?
I was very limited when I purchased from Tavor originally. I did not buy from them very often, and I simply just purchased from them when there was a beer or two that I wanted, and that usually because I was already paying the flat rate shipping, I'd shop around a little bit. For me, however, there are still so many beers in Michigan that I haven't tried that honestly, if I can't find it at GABF, and even when I went to GABF, like minus like the whales, because I did go to GABF this year, I didn't care. Like, I just kind of I treated it as if I did the Michigan Brewers Guild Festival. I had an empty glass. I walked up to an empty spot and I said, all right, I'm in, because it was Oktoberfest season, had a lot of Oktoberfests. So for me, like, Tavor was never really a, oh my God, thank God I can get beer that I never normally got. I wish we could purchase online beer here in Michigan. I wish I could partake in Bottlelogic releases or brewery releases or, you know, releases that other states are able to do, Toppling Goliath, that I can get here in Michigan, because I can't. I feel like I've gone way past it to where, because I can't, I don't care. I don't need it. I don't want it. I don't care. And for me, like, I don't chase hype fruited sours. I don't chase hazy IPAs. I don't chase a lot of barrel aged beers even. So beers that I'm looking for. Beer, like, what's my favorite beer is a shelf turd in fucking Florida called I'm So Excited I'm So Scared.
Yeah.
By Funky Buddha. And literally just because it's on the shelf all the time, people can pick it up for me in Florida.
I don't think it's necessarily about looking for the newest release though with Tavor. I just pick things that sounded good. And sometimes it'd be something popular, and sometimes it would be just a really good beer.
It can be a crapshoot, for sure.
Sometimes it wasn't a good beer. Not very rarely did that actually happen, but I mean, I don't think it was necessarily about finding the best beer. It was just about something different.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. And I guess for Dan, I'm going to change this up a little bit, because this was always something that kind of bothered me about Tavor, in that, you know, they pride themselves in making sure that they get the highest rated beers out to everyone. And so essentially every beer that they have for sale are beers that are rated on Untappd, I believe, at least a 4 or higher. And it, to me, causes an issue with breweries who may actually have a lot of decent beers that are out there, but don't get enough ratings to get up to that 4, or maybe it's 4.2. I can't remember. I think it's a little bit over 4.0, where they get onto the radar where Tavor can say, hey, we're going to start shit. We're going to start, you know, pushing your beers. And so I feel like there's some beers that get missed out, but I mean, should Untappd really be the de facto kind of source to basically say, all right, if you're good enough on Untappd, then you're good enough to push around the country?
No, absolutely not. If they're using what rando, especially like nerds out there who are going to rate things because it's not the style of beer that they like, it absolutely shouldn't be. It's kind of disappointing to hear that they do that. How they could figure out, maybe they need people to just decide, like, hey, this is a good beer, people should try. But no, you shouldn't be choosing which beer based on some idiot out in like BFE is like, oh, I don't like this style of beer, so you know, I mean, it's we've seen
those ratings that we've talked about it before, where somebody got a brown ale and it said 1 star, not an IPA.
Yep. I mean, yep, exactly. That's a terrible way to do that.
If that is something that causes me to not be able to push my business and push my beer to other people in the country, I don't know.
Well, that's within the rating system itself. And this is even before Untappd. Like Rate Beer, Beer Advocate had these same issues. And that is when you're having non-IPA, I'll even add IPA, mead, barley wine, and barrel aged. If it doesn't fall within those four categories, it almost loses legit a half point right away. Just minimum a half point right away. Nobody is going to go out there and rate an alt beer a 5.0. Nobody is going to go out there. And mind you, this is the fucking industry standard, which I'm pointing to the camera. Is for those of you listening to the podcast, it's Le Fin de Mon, for a Belgian triple. Like when brewers think a Pilsner Urquell, like that is the pinnacle, the industry standard. When they think Belgian triples, like we might think, you know, Final Absolution here in Michigan, but Le Fin de Mon is literally the standard when you think industry-wise, what is a good Belgian triple? When you get these types of beers, and I do have it up here, and I'm going to pull it up as I pass it to someone else to get the numbers, they need to remove the restrictions, because a beer like, say, from Loaded Dice, that might be a 385, might be a solid beer, or Bobby English from North Center Brewing, or God forbid, let's bring up Motor City Brewing Works Ghetto Blaster. Like Ghetto Shit. Blaster ain't going to be a 4.0, but you know that's a really fucking good English mild.
Damn right.
Should that not get like there needs to be, they need to expand a little bit more on what they accept in there. Like I understand in my head like that's what you want to sell, but in the same sense, like there needs to be a little bit more information. Like, I'm literally trying to think of... So the Northern Kolsch, for those of you who don't know, in Michigan, the Northern Kolsch is a GABF gold medal winning Kolsch in 2022. You know what? Let's have a little bit of fun. Dan, don't look it up. Stop. Stop.
I'm looking at you. I wasn't looking up. Yeah, go for it.
What is the untapped rating for the Northern Kolsch gold medal winning Kolsch beer from Royal Brewery? I'm going to say
probably about a 3.8.
Wendy, what about you? What do you think it is?
I'm going to go even lower.
That doesn't help me. I need a number.
3.5.
3.5, Rob.
I'll say, is this card sharks?
Yeah. Higher or lower?
I was actually going to go a little lower than that and say 3.2.
So it's 3.35. The Dang. Gold medal GABF winning Kolsch beer, what BJCP judges rated as the best Kolsch beer in the world, or so the U.S., because it's the Great American Beer Festival, 3.35. Like, do you not want the ability to be able to buy that beer and say, hey, this is one of the best Kolsches in the world? I can't buy it on Tavor because it's a 3.35.
So, yeah, perfect example. Clandestine from Saddle Mountain just won its fifth medal in a row this year. It's currently rated a 3.84. It's a Scottish export ale, and they've won 3 golds and 2 bronzes now in 5 consecutive years. But guess what? You can't get it because it's rated less than whatever. Yeah.
That's just below the threshold. There, I mean, there was an article I remember reading where there were breweries who had beers that were at 3.85, 3.89 that didn't break the threshold, and so it was not even a thought.
You know what's at 3.37? Pilsner Urquell.
Damn.
The gold fucking standard of pills, like a Czech pills. If you say I want a Czech pills, every brewery in this world matches up their beer to Pilsner Urquell, and that's how they root it. They're like, how am I going to do against Pilsner Urquell? And that's one of the things to where if I can't even get Pilsner Urquell in Tavor because it's 3.37.
No, but you can get a quadruple hazy IPA with milk sugars added to it because some nerd out there rated it a 5.0.
Well, you should be able to get Pilsner Urquell at your local store, though. That's a little bit of the difference.
That's I understand what you're saying, Wendy, but when the reference point is ratings on Untappd, and the rating on Untappd is 3.37 for Pilsner Urquell. Like, I don't trust Untappd. I don't trust the theory.
Well, I don't trust Untappd either. That's why I said sometimes your beer is good and sometimes it's not when you get into work.
The theory is bad, but let's go back to what I was talking about. Am I going to rate this 4 Elf that I just got that nobody's going to know what the date is?
Yeah, you should rate it a 2.
You totally should. And don't explain why it was bad.
Well, that also the thing. So I actually reached out. I should have reached out to Chuck, a friend of the show. For those of you who don't know, we're actually going to be recording at 4 Elf this year. So that's going to be our December something episode, 9th, 10th. So we're not going to be live that Friday night. But
up north adjacent?
I mean, that's like 2 hours west of you. Like 4 Elf, like they said, this is like, I referenced 2 sales reps of Dark Horse and they said this is probably 2018. Like that was their guess just simply based on the label, because there is no marking that tells me what the date is. There's nothing on the cap. There's nothing on the label itself. So I don't know when it is. So they just had to base it off of their previous knowledge. But I am going to take that beer and rate it on Untappd, and I'm going to affect the rating simply because I took a beer that is 4 years old.
And if that person who is drinking that has no idea that it's 5 years old, there goes, you know, it drops the overall rating, which kind of in turn means that, you know, these distributors and these stores need to help with doing a better job to make sure that the freshest beer is out there so that everyone is drinking what the brewers intend the beer to be at the time it's bottled and put on shelf. That's it.
I mean, we've talked a lot about like Untappd and our issue. We're actually, as I'm looking into it, for those of you who don't know, there was a Instagram and Twitter and Facebook page. There obviously is like Don't Drink Beer, but there was also one called Untappd WTF, which promoted hysterically terrible Untappd ratings. So on December 2nd, in a month and a half, we're actually bringing in the owner of what is now known, formerly Untappd WTF, Pilsnerish. He calls himself the Pilsner Boy. We don't know his real name, and I've asked, and he won't tell me either. But we're going to be bringing him in to talk about social media and ratings and the system and why he kind of started the website itself. Because, again, Don't Drink Beer has kind of exploded a lot. If nobody's watched them lately, he has TikTok. I think he has his own podcast even, too. So Pilsnerish is a little bit smaller, but definitely a fun get. So I'm excited to have.
What's his name again?
He calls himself the Pilsner Boy. That's B-O-I.
We
I was gonna ask
that's if it was a Y or an I. We need to use that name as much as possible and take a drink every time that name is said, because that is just stupid.
I was asking him, well, it's because he hasn't released his real name, so I feel like he might be someone in the industry.
So you'd be on here wearing a mask, like a luchador mask.
He might, which would be hysterical, to be honest.
If he comes on with a voice modulator, that is going to be amazing.
Oh, that would be good.
But he actually paid the Island Boys, I think is what they're called. Do like a review of a brewery. And it's just so funny. But again, that's the December 2nd episode. We'll be off December 9th because we'll be doing 4Elf on December 10th. We have a handful of episodes upcoming. Hot Plate Brewing Company is going to be next week, as well as we will be off November 4th. Back on November 11th with Albion Malleable. Hopefully getting some brews in to try that. And, you know, folks, our sponsor, Zatuna Liquor, is going to be coming in on Black Friday. Jack's not going to Chicago on Black Friday. We might have a surprise guest from M4. He said he's going to do the spicy chip challenge.
Oh, boy.
The one like chip challenge.
Live?
Yeah, the live one chip challenge. But, Rob, I think we've beat Untappd and Tavor into the ground. Wendy, what do you got for news?
So, I had like four different news stories that I wanted to talk about, but since it is Fall Beer Fest Eve, I really want to talk about some of the stuff that's come out. We posted on the website about the best beer festival in every state in the United States. There was an article that we shared from Zane Lamprey about the best beer cities. So I'm just curious for you guys, what is the favorite beer festival that you have been to, and is it here in Michigan?
Oh, geez. I mean...
Not to put you on the spot or anything.
Dan, I mean, you've hit a few places over in Arizona, so you have Arizona. No, you haven't?
No, I had no. GABF's my favorite. There's nothing that compares to that.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, there's no other place. I mean, I can come to Michigan and drink Michigan beer all day. I can go to Arizona, anywhere here, and drink Arizona beer. There are not a lot of places, unless I want to travel there, that I can drink Wyoming beer, Nebraska beer, things like that. Having the beer from those different locations that I won't get otherwise, unless I travel to like the middle of nowhere, is, I think, a great opportunity.
What's crazy is that your first trip, which was my first trip to GABF, I mean, there was a lot of lack of national beers from like the Northeastern area and Northwestern area, Michigan even. So I will be excited to go and try it again. I'm going to disagree with you, however, for my favorite beer festival, because there's definitely two in my head, and there are some that I haven't been to yet. And so I hope that we can ask this question again here in 2 years. I want to go to FOBAB over in Chicago. I want to go to Great Taste. I want to go to Extreme Beer Fest over in Boston. So those are three beer fests. CBC over, I will be going at least in 2024 in Vegas. But for me right now, the best festival I've ever been to, mixing in options and beer and like the weather. Honest to God, Burning Foot Beer Festival. 100 breweries, not a bad selection of beer. Can't try all of them already. Two, live bands. A lot of them were really random off-the-cuff bands who did a great performance. Three, you're on the water, which was great, on Lake Michigan. Four, the weather held up, which was great too, because we camped on the beach itself. So I had probably the first and only perfect Burning Foot Beer Festival experience within it. The other one I would say is the UP Beer Festival, but that's because it's just definitely a lot more relaxed, as well as we had a weather. It was definitely weather specific. Like GABF, which we went to, Dan, weather doesn't matter. Doesn't matter if it's 20 outside, doesn't matter if it's 80 outside. It's all
inside. That's true. So where do you rank the Royal Oak Beer Festival at in there? I thought that was going to be number one for you.
Honest to God, the Royal Oak Beer Festival was a blast.
A lot of fun.
The one at the Farmer's Market?
Oh, yeah. Again, which one?
Oh, geez, Dan, when did we go?
Because they have like 15 of them a year.
2017?
No, it would have been like 2015, 2016.
Yeah, somewhere in there. One of those times.
Yeah, so that's when the last time I went was probably back then too. But yeah, the Royal Oak Beer, the Zubru is a lot of fun too. But when I'm talking about like beer festivals, like the Burning Foot Beer Festival was easily my favorite fest to go to.
I mean, you had the Limp Bizkit tribute band.
Honest to God, what was better? So first of all, as much as everyone makes fun of that, everyone was jamming to Limp Bizkit tribute band. Everyone was singing along with it, especially the cellarman from Austin Brothers Beer Company who was there, who was legit singing every single song, jamming away like as if he was on stage. Like that alone was also worth the price of admission, is just watching everyone. But I'm going to be honest. I was so excited to see Everlast there. Lit put on a great performance.
Wait, did Everlast go up there with the... Or no, it was the other guy from House of Pain that was in Limp Bizkit.
DJ Lethal.
Yeah, that's... I was like, did he go up there with him? But yeah, wrong guy.
So Everlast has been doing touring lately. He got sick, which is why he didn't make it to the festival. But Everlast had been doing touring with a lot of House of Pain remixes with like a Everlast twang. So I was actually super excited to see him until like a week before when they canceled. And honest to God, I got a half dozen messages from folks when they canceled it on Burning Foot's website saying, "Hey, I heard you wanted to go see Everlast. He ain't there anymore." They got Filter to replace him, which was pretty solid replacement for...
That's a solid replacement.
I would say a solid replacement.
Did they just sing "Hey Man, Nice Shot" like for 30 minutes and then...
They got others. I mean, Take My Picture, Jurassic Hall. I mean, Trip Like I Do.
Dan, I think you pissed off Rob a little bit.
Oh, sorry about that, Rob.
You touched a nerve there.
And the only reason I can bring those up, I'm listening to a podcast called 60 Songs Explained in 90s. And the episode I'm on is Prodigy's The Firestarter, and he brings up the Spawn soundtrack.
What was that called again? I'm going to write that down.
60 Songs That Explain the 90s.
I did see the Prodigy live over at the Fox, and that was a great show. But we got a little bit of time left. Dan, do you have a short little news segment you wanted to talk about?
Yeah, I do. So this actually came up actually while we were at GABF. So about a week and a half old. I'm just kind of curious how everyone feels about this, because I know how you guys feel about things that go on at breweries like this. So McKellar announced that they have closed their San Francisco location after 9 years. This comes in a run of them closing everything. First Oakland, then LA, then New York, then their brewing facility in San Diego, and now San Francisco, leaving them only one location left in the U.S. in Little Italy and San Diego. They cited that COVID was a big issue with this, and they weren't able to keep up with producing and selling enough at these locations. Curious how you all feel about this. I know McKellar has been the center of controversy for the last couple of years, and it seems that they really went downhill, especially in the U.S. after that, even though the majority of the issues seem to be in Denmark and in Europe. So is this a sign that maybe they're starting to go down more and more, or what's everyone's opinion on this?
Go ahead, Ken.
Well, I was going to say, so McKellar didn't have, they didn't have breweries here in the U.S. They just had tap rooms, correct?
So they had a production facility in San Diego. That's what closed here earlier this year.
Okay, because to my knowledge, what I remember from McKellar was that they were a gypsy brewer.
Yeah, so they had a production facility in San Diego and then tasting rooms in downtown San Diego, L.A., Oakland, and New York and right. San Francisco.
So yeah. So one more time, where did they close their production facility or just their tap rooms?
They closed the production facility back in August, and then they've closed the tap rooms going back to 2020 in Oakland, L.A., and then in New York, and then they just closed the San Francisco one, leaving only one left here in the U.S.
I feel like maybe McKellar just got left behind. They were a great alternative that was foreign within the U.S., but as the U.S. has expanded within the country itself for craft beer, nobody really gave two shits about them. I mean, I can't tell you the last time I had a McKellar beer. I legit, like, not even trying to be like over dramatic or sarcastic. We haven't had it on the show. I'd actually have to look in the Better on Draft Untapped to see if we've had any McKellars on the show itself. But for me, like, I can't even tell you when we've had McKellar. We have two check-ins from McKellar on the show.
Total. All the time.
Yeah. Wow. So it literally goes the dry January episode. So it looks like we drank McKellar Drinking in the Sky. And that was January 2022. And then before that, we drank a Texas Ranger. So that was episode 115. So we were still checking in beers on episode 115 on our Untapped. And that's it. Like, that's, we never cared about McKellar here because, one, we had a lot of great Michigan beer. And two, they were a great spot when craft beer was growing in the early 2010s. But I mean, you guys can correct me. I mean, 115, Wendy wasn't here. Wendy, were you drinking McKellar in the 2018, 19, 17?
I probably was, but I don't know that I drank it on a regular basis. I kind of have to echo your sentiments of I don't care. Like,
enough other options out there that, like,
there's so
matter.
Many things that we have here, just even here in Michigan, that is amazing. Like, it doesn't really bother me. Like, there's always something new to try.
Yeah, it kind of reflects my opinion, too. So when I was back in May in San Diego, literally walked by the Little Italy tap room. It's like, oh, hey, there's McKellar, and just kept on going. Not something I really thought, you know, you need to stop in and get. So that is a good point.
Yeah, I mean, I pretty much would say the same thing. I mean, there's times where I've had McKellar. I've really enjoyed their Tree Blood, which is one of their barrel-aged beers. But I never really had a whole lot of them. And it is pretty much the same as what everyone else is saying, is that, you know, we have so many different options that are here in Michigan that you can only spend your time and your money with so many. And when you're too busy spending your time and your money with a lot of the beers that are here in the state alone, where does that fit in just buying everyone else's beers? I mean, they're like, there's a lot of people that have their out-of-state, not distroed in Michigan beers that they gravitate to as it is. And while, you know, McKellar is one that it was distroed here, it kind of, I feel like for Michigan, it just fell into that hole that pretty much a lot of breweries that distro to Michigan fall into. That it's, oh, this is great. It, like, you know, the ballast point conundrum, we'll just call it that. That it comes in, everybody really enjoys, like, oh shit, I get to get some scope in, I get to enjoy all of this and enjoy this ballast point. And then it's like 6 months later, it's like, well, I'm just gonna go have me a Roke, or I'm gonna get some I'm gonna get some shorts.
That's not a negative on McKellar. Like, mean McKellar beer is bad, but it just means that one, especially because it's being imported, the price point's going to be a lot higher. That we don't like, we can just drink something else. Like, that's the problem. Yeah. Is that there is so many beers and so many SKUs on the shelf right now that I don't need a McKellar. I don't need a McKellar to put on the shelf, and therefore it doesn't get put on the shelf, and therefore I don't drink it. It's almost also a self-fulfilling prophecy. Like, Michigan beer drinkers want to drink Michigan beer, and so they don't drink anything that's not Michigan beer. And when they do drink Wendy, well, go on.
Sorry.
Just interrupt me. Just say, Ken, shut the fuck up. You're being such a narcissist.
I don't want to be that girl. But I do have a question about that, because we've talked about this on the show quite a few times, that, you know, we want everything that we can't get until we can get it. But do you feel like sometimes the breweries that we are clamoring for to bring beer to us, bring us their flagship beers? Like, so Toppling Goliath is a perfect example. We all wanted to be able to get Toppling Goliath. It's in the state now. Who's buying it?
That's a good point.
It's literally like three of their SKUs that we can get, and it's none of the SKUs that we were trying to get.
So hold on. I'm going to interrupt you just because I got interrupted when I said the exact same comment to Jack Zatuna over at Zatuna Liquor in Rochester Hills. And he said Toppling Goliath is one of his top SKUs.
Okay, so that was a bad example.
No. It's not a bad example.
It is good beer, but for someone like me, that's not the beer that I was trying to get. I will buy it if I see it, but one, I can't get it over here.
Here's another example.
I just think we're still too new into Toppling Goliath before they've been pushed to the side. That's my theory.
Here's a better example. Is Yingling in Michigan yet? Or no?
No.
This year.
No. They announced four new states or five new states this year, and we're not on it.
Nope.
So how long will it take when it gets there before people just don't buy it anymore? And they eventually end up either
cutting back or sending beer
to Michigan.
You got to understand with Yingling is that Yingling's current distribution is on the level of Sam Adams. Like, Yingling, Sam Adams, and then literally everyone fucking else. Like, there's these two right up here at 5 million barrels, and then everyone else. So I disagree with what you're saying, because one, it is a cheap lager. So it's not expensive. It's not hard. It's not an IPA. It's easy to drink. Everyone knows it. There's a lot of people who still go to Toledo or Ohio to get it.
A lot.
To where it's also a boating beer, again, because of its price, and in a can. So if Yingling were to come to Michigan, I think there'll be the initial explosion, and then I think it'll reach Sam Adams levels and then stay right there.
So you say that, but you know, you used to drive to Toledo all the time. Fat Tire fits all that, except it's not a lager.
No, it doesn't.
When's the last time you bought a Fat Tire?
When did New Belgium hit 6 million barrels a year?
I mean, for the type of beer that it is, not the distribution, not how much they're selling, but you used to drive to Toledo to get Fat Tire all the time.
Brand recognition. I would put more people know Yingling before they knew New Belgium in Michigan, and New Belgium is sold in Michigan. I'd put money that people know more about Yingling versus Fat Tire Lager.
They know that they like Yingling. That's it. And they know Yingling like they know Blue Moon. Blue Moon only has one beer, as far as most people in Michigan are concerned.
Right.
Ken's been to the brewery.
Oh my God. That was so much fun. That brewery.
They have some damn good beers.
Oh my God.
Oh my gosh. So I just want to point out, while we're kind of laughing about that, Trogues, if you decide to distribute here, I will personally make sure that Mad Elf makes the cut every time. Please, I don't want to have to make two or three visits to Toledo every November and December. Thank you. That's it.
Well, hopefully we'll have Trogues on the show here soon.
God, I hope so.
Got the card.
As I got the card right here. Did meet the fine gentleman over at Trogues saying, hey, we've been trying to reach you about your car warranty or whatever it's called.
Nice.
Please come on the show.
Folks, that is the news segment. This is October 21st, 2022. Thank you so much for listening. You can find us on all of our social medias. That's Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, TikTok, Untappd, Twitch. It's all better on Draft. Simple, easy to remember. We have all of them. We appreciate you listening. Join us next week. As we kind of mentioned on this show, next week we have Hot Plate Brewing. On the episode, we'll also be doing news. We'll be off on November 4th and then back again for Albion Malibu, which is a part of our Michigan series. That's going to do it. So 304 Better on Draft podcast. No matter what you think of your beer, we think it's Better on Draft. Have a good night.
Peace.